Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Hello on a snowy, kind of miserable Friday. I'm Chris Conley, and I'm filling in today for Seth Mila because Seth is filling in for Jerry because Jerry's got bronchitis. We should be back to normal on Monday. I'm still glad to spend some time with you. We needed an emergency fill-in host, and who better around here is better off at running their mouth than me? So we've got some topics to talk about. Actually, I'm glad that I get a chance to fill in today because there's enough in the news that to be able to spend an extra hour and talk to you about it and maybe some take some phone calls too, that's going to be great. So this is a happy accident that I am filling in today. Chris Conley here, you there, and hopefully you're just inside and not on the roads because there's ice under that snow and it's just very slippery. You know that Democrats and Republicans in Madison have had a lot of tension over the last 2 years because Republicans have controlled everything. They've got the governorship, they've got the state senate, they've got the state assembly. So really the only thing that stops Governor Walker's agenda from moving forward is Republicans arguing with Republicans. You've heard about that as a talk show topic too, that apparently the state senate and state assembly don't always get along. There's a little bit of friction between Scott Fitzgerald, he's the Senate Majority Leader, and Robin Voss, he runs the assembly, he's the assembly speaker. But no, yesterday we had just old-fashioned Democrats versus Republican arguments, and it's noteworthy because it was a little more heated than it had been in the past. And the issue is the living wage bill. Now, having a living wage in Wisconsin is a non-starter. Republicans are not on board with that idea at all. So kind of as an end run, there have been individual communities that have passed their own living wage ordinances. Milwaukee's city council said yes to a living wage. Of course, what the living wage is varies from one city to another. In a nutshell, the living wage is what it would take for someone who works at a minimum wage job and they work a full 40-hour week to be above the poverty line. That's the working definition of a living wage. So a living wage, say, in a really expensive city to live in like New York, would be different than a living wage in Wausau, where your living expenses are cheaper. Milwaukee and Madison are two of the most expensive places to live in New York, in Wisconsin, rather, and Milwaukee has passed a minimum wage ordinance, but it hasn't taken effect yet. It was okayed by the city council, and now this bill in Madison, which would do away with living wages at the local level, it would say this is a state issue, not a local issue. The state is potentially short-circuiting something that Milwaukee has already put onto their books, although it hasn't taken effect yet. Madison, on the other hand, has had a living wage for years, and this ordinance could potentially undo that. It's been approved in the state assembly. The bill still needs to be okayed in the state senate, and it's not clear if Governor Walker would sign it or not. Here is the argument for stopping local cities and towns from moving forward with living wage ordinances on their own. The supporters of this argue that, hey, it's not just your city that you're impacting here. I mean, let's imagine that Milwaukee goes to a living wage and they're generous. The living wage will be $15. That's what the McDonald's workers were walking off the job for, so let's use that as a number for our example. Does that $15 just affect Milwaukee? And the supporters of banning these living wage increases are saying, no, it doesn't. Because what is going to happen if you run the McDonald's in the neighboring town? What if you have the McDonald's in Waukesha, or in Deerbrook, or in West Allis? You are suddenly not going to be able to get employees. And even though your community, in its wisdom, does not have a living wage ordinance, you're going to wind up paying something more than what you are paying now, or else your workers will say, well, you know, I'll ride the bus a few stops further, or I'll just take my car and drive in, and instead of working at the McDonald's or being a custodian or doing whatever other minimum wage job you have in mind, being a maid at the Super 8 Motel, I'll get that job just down the road in Milwaukee where I'll make the $15 instead of the $8, for example, that you're paying here. So in order to be competitive in the marketplace, those surrounding communities are going to have to raise their wage. So then suddenly the $8 won't cut it. So in Waukesha, we're going to have $10 or $11 an hour jobs. Now, if you believe that the minimum or slash living wage should be raised, you'll say, well, that's a good thing. What's not such a good thing about it is people in those surrounding communities, nobody asked them. Their city council didn't even get a chance to vote. They're having this external factor foisted upon them because of what their neighbors in Milwaukee did. And the same thing in Madison. I mean, if you have a minimum wage job and you are in Sun Prairie or in Middleton, well, you're going to have to pay more because the going rate is higher in your big gorilla of a neighbor next door, Madison. That's the 1,000-pound elephant in the room. That their city council is getting to shape what they think the living wage should be in their community, but they are absolutely having a ripple effect surrounding them. That's one of the arguments for stopping communities from doing that, that you're not being a good neighbor when your city council does that. The other argument, and this is put forth by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who's a supporter of stopping these local minimum wage ordinances. He says, you know, a lot of these minimum wage jobs or these entry-level jobs are jobs that come with some kind of government assist, that the government offers tax breaks for inner city businesses to hire more people. That's one of President Obama's favorite projects. Or it's a government contract job. You know, President Obama just raised the minimum wage for federal contractors to $10.10. We have a lot of jobs that are done under contract to the state. And what Milwaukee or Madison do when they raise the minimum wage or enact a living wage for those people is that they are raising the bill that the state ultimately winds up paying. That if the state gives, just hypothetically, $100,000 to help a project, say it's an urban renewal project, we're tearing down blighted houses in one neighborhood and we want to build something that's nicer there, and the state is kicking in $100,000. Well, the state intended for the $100,000 to go towards the demolition and building new stuff. And now some, or maybe all, of the $100,000 that the state contributed has to go to cover higher labor costs. In a sense, if you're Milwaukee or Madison or another community that wants a living wage, you can pass some of those costs on to somebody else, the taxpayers in Madison, or the federal government. And that's not right either, that if you're going to have the minimum wage, it's the people in those communities, the people who could vote you out if they don't like the minimum wage or the living wage ordinance, who should be able to, they should bear the brunt of it instead of taxpayers like you and me, where a living wage isn't really on the agenda in our communities. So that's the argument for and against the living wage. The living wage, by the way, is much more than any of the minimum wage increase. I mean, living wage, we're talking the $14 or $15 an hour. We're talking about that fast food strike level wage that was in the news when they had those McDonald's walkouts back during Thanksgiving and during the Christmas holiday season. Do you have any thoughts about this? Some will say this is a local control issue, that you are telling individual cities and towns, some of them have already taken action on the issue, that no, you can't do that. It's a state issue, not a local issue. I have another thought on this, and it's a living wage and a minimum wage increase that will probably affect my kids. We'll take a break. We'll take some of your phone calls, too, if you'd like to join the conversation. The living wage, big hot issue in Madison yesterday, 715-845-2155, if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm Chris Conley on WSAU Feedback, and I'm filling in for Seth. We'll keep this conversation going. I want to talk about what I think is one of the great modern scams, too. That'll be after the 8:30 news. Bitcoins. If you don't know what they are, we'll take you to task on those. We'll also tell you why I think they may be a little more of a ripoff than you think. All coming up, guest hosting on Feedback, your calls as well. 715-845-2155. This is Feedback on WSAU. This is WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. Because Seth Mila is filling in for Jerry Bader in 39 minutes, I'm guest hosting today. My name is Chris Conley, who you normally hear doing the news on WSAU on the Wisconsin Morning News program. Talking about the living wage and this really heated argument among Democrats who support a higher living wage and Republicans who want to keep cities and towns from passing their own local living wage ordinance. This is passed the Assembly, likely to be approved in the state Senate. We still don't know for sure if Governor Walker is going to sign it. My daughter, I can't believe this, my daughter is turning 15 years old. It seems like just yesterday that she was born. I mean, once you have kids, time goes by really fast. My daughter is probably about a year away from looking for some kind of part-time work, summer job, after-school kind of job, a chance where she can begin collecting some extra money, and in all honesty, some of it's going to go away to cover some of her college expenses when she graduates. Just like with my dad, where some of my paycheck was confiscated by the old man, I'm going to do the same thing to my daughter, that some will be for spending, and some will be for books or for expenses to and from school. So my daughter is already starting to think about what might be the part-time jobs that would be available to her. And, of course, she could potentially benefit if there are living wage ordinances, and she shouldn't. I mean, the idea of the living wage, like we said when we first introduced the topic, the idea here is to provide enough money for someone who is an adult and is working full-time to be above the poverty line. Well, my daughter, of course, does not live on her own, doesn't have all of the living expenses here. So to say that she deserves $15 an hour for whatever part-time job it is, that's money that she doesn't really deserve. No matter. So she is talking, you know, should I work at McDonald's? Well, I mean, McDonald's pays above the minimum wage. In fact, McDonald's doesn't start anyone at minimum wage. And after you've worked there for a certain period of time, very short, if you've survived for the first month or so, then you get your first raise at McDonald's. So they bump you up. She has also wondered, would she like to work at the radio station? Well, I mean, our company policy is that I can't hire my daughter to work for me, but there are other program directors or brand managers here who might need board operators. Board operator is the entry-level job in the radio business. You wind up watching the equipment, usually during sports broadcasts. So that could be unusual, because my moonlighting job here is that I do the play-by-play for the DC Everest High School sports teams. It's potentially that my daughter, I mean, I wouldn't be her boss in that situation. Kenny Clark, who runs WRIG, our sister station, would technically hire her. But I might be working with my daughter. And our entry-level jobs, board operator, I got to be honest, it doesn't pay well because it is considered non-skilled work. Once you learn the basics of running our computers and our equipment, which is not hard, I mean, you could take someone off the street who says they have an interest, and you could train them how to do that. So she would certainly benefit with a huge bump up from minimum wage here. And my daughter, who was on her swim team, thinks that she might also go for the additional training and become a lifeguard. Now, that's generally seasonal work, but, I mean, she could work at one of the water parks, and that could be a lot of fun as a lifeguard, because generally, once the place closes down, you get to go swimming, and that's kind of a cool job. So those are kind of her career choices. Here's what I don't like about the government saying that the minimum wage is going up, or about the government, being the feds, the state, or your local city council, saying that we're going to have a living wage and that everyone who's below that living wage is going to go up. I think it sends a horrible message to people like my daughter about where your pay raise comes from. We're sending a message to low-income earners that the way you get a pay raise is to pressure the government, is to bother your congressman or your senator or your state representative or, in the case of local living wage ordinances, your city council person. That's not how you get a pay raise. You get a pay raise by going to your boss. Now, I know there are some people who say, no, because these lower-level jobs are kind of all interchangeable. Now, the worker doesn't have any bargaining power. I don't think that's true. In fact, and even if it is true, it's still the wrong message, because what you're working for is a job where you do have some kind of bargaining power. And maybe if you were on the lower rungs at a fast food job or at a retail job, maybe you don't have that now, but down the road you should. And that's just the wrong message. The message is that you do such a good job that you can go to your boss and say, I'm worth more than what you're paying me. Here are all the really good things that I do at work, and that's why I deserve a little bit more. Even in low-level jobs, I think of our board operators here at the radio station. And again, my moonlighting job doing the play-by-play sports, I work with all of the board operators, and they are of varying skills. Some are very good. They're meticulous. Some, not as much as you would like. If the very best board operator, again, a low-level, entry-level job where we would literally train people off the streets who are willing to do it. Here's how you run the equipment. Here's how you do this. And once you have the basic skills, bang, you're a radio board operator, and that's the bottom rung in what might be a broadcasting career for you. But if our very best came to us and said, I'm worth more than the other people here that do this job. I'm better. I mean, I show up earlier. I don't make mistakes. I'm very conscientious about making the broadcast come out right. If that person said, you know, I should get a 50 cent or a 75 cent an hour raise because I'm better than everyone else. I'm more reliable. I'm going to be here longer, all of that. Tell me that management wouldn't say yes to that. And I think that holds true at a lot of jobs. If you're the person at McDonald's, again, where you think, or the traditional argument is that the workers have no wage bargaining power in those fast food jobs. But if you're the person who's always available on days like this when it snows and other workers on your shift are canceling out and you say, sure, I'm willing to come in early and pick up the shift of the guy before me. Or if you're the person who learns when they have a new product, oh, we're doing McWraps now. Fine, I'll learn how to fold it right and put the stuff together so it doesn't come out all messed up when the customer buys it. If you're the person who does all of that and then says to your boss, I'm worth 50 cents an hour more. The boss is going to immediately say, well, I'd have to find somebody new. They may not be reliable. We could train them and they could leave in a month. The boss is going to say yes to the pay raise. But of course, there's a caveat to that. You can't be the guy who walked off the job before Thanksgiving and Christmas and went on strike. You have to be the guy who is better than everyone else. I think that holds for a lot of low-wage jobs. Oh, you're the hotel maid. And the rooms that you make up are never messed up. Customers, when they check in, never complain that their room is not nice. All the stuff is cleaned and is done. And if you can say, well, gee, I do more rooms than the other people who are on the maid staff, and all the customers never have a problem, but I need a little more money to keep... The boss would say yes. That's where you're supposed to get the raise from. That's the message or the work ethic that's being lost here in these minimum wage debates. Anyway, I've got a couple of people who want to join in the conversation, and look, now that I started talking about my kids, which is how this segment began, there's no way to make a segment go long. They got me talking about my kids. We're overdue for the news. We will take some calls on this. The minimum wage, the living wage, the debate is underway in Madison. It's going to impact a lot of local towns, too. Take a break right after the news with Tom King, 715-845-2155, if you'd like to join this. We'll also do a segment on the Bitcoin scam, too. It's all coming up. Chris Conley in for Seth Mila, WSAU Feedback. This is WSAU Feedback. Just to my left, Seth Mila is getting ready right now to guest host the Jerry Bader Show from 9 to 11. I'm Chris Conley. We've been talking about the living wage debate and the minimum wage. I've told you some of the problems here. I think it messes with the employer-employee relationship. And it does pass the bill on to actually pay for the higher wage to other people instead of just the city or the town that's approving the higher minimum wage or living wage. We're going to take some calls about it. Some of you have been waiting on hold for a very long time. I apologize for that. We're going to take your calls now, 715-845-2155. Hi, caller. You are first up on WSAU Feedback. Thank you for waiting.
Yes, Chris. This is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. Go ahead.
And I'm hoping that Governor Walker doesn't sign the bill for the raise for the minimum wage because I really think that's going to hurt the businesses in the long run. Because they will charge more for the people or they're going to lay people off and they're going to lose their businesses. I think that...
Well, wait a minute. But I think from hearing your argument, you want the governor to sign this bill because it would keep local cities and towns from having these higher minimum wages.
Yes.
So
yes.
You are opposed to an increase in the minimum wage or to a living wage.
I really am. We have three children, and they're all married and have children, and I am concerned about grandchildren and getting jobs for college. But two of our children had three jobs when they were getting ready to go to college. The other one had two jobs. And I think that kids are very versatile with working a lot of jobs, and they have fun. They meet people. The main thing is, if it's people that are working in in McDonald's or Arby's or any of the fast food places, or even with Shopko or some of those stores, I think that when they are working to support a family, then we have to look at maybe the education in technical schools. Maybe these aren't college people. Maybe they have to get something a little bit more training in technical areas where they can make a better wage.
Sure. No, I agree. Sandy, thank you for your call. If you are someone who is an adult, I mean, not my daughter like a high school kid who needs an after-school job or a summer job, or someone in college who needs some extra money to get through school or to pay for your books. If you're an adult and you're trying to support a family, you've got kids, you've got a wife, or you're divorced, or you have kids where you never married the baby mama or the baby daddy, and you're trying to make a go of it working at a fast food restaurant, there is something wrong with that picture. Now, I can see where someone takes that job in a hard economy, says, well, I need some money coming in. I don't feel good about being in the social safety net. I don't want to be on welfare or whatever. I need to work. So I could see someone who takes that job temporarily. But if you've been the fry guy at McDonald's for 2 or 3 or 4 years, the kind of guys who've been going out on strike saying, I need the 15 bucks, there's something not right about your picture. Why have you not been promoted to shift leader? I mean, you're an adult and you've been there for 3 or 4 years. Why are you still at that bottom rung? And it's because there is something that you're not doing right. You're not reliable. You don't have the work skills. You haven't shown an interest in moving up to the next level in your company. There's something that it's the effort that you spend going out on strike or picketing or signing petitions, whatever, if that effort were spent on doing a better job, being more reliable, learning the next skill, believe me, you'd be better off. 715-845-2155. Hi, caller. You're next on WSAU Feedback. Go ahead.
Good morning. A couple things real quick. Number one, when they get, that's rounded off to about $3 an hour or more. That's more income for the government through taxes. Don't forget, the more you make, the more they take. So, and the other thing is, too, it's more or less where...
Well, now, wait a minute, because that's a fallacy right there, and we should correct that. People who are in the bottom rungs, people who are in the 18%, they don't pay anything in federal tax. I mean, the money all comes back. That's the problem. 49% of us here don't pay income tax at all. So 51% of us, the higher income people, are pulling the train for the 49% that aren't. So please don't make the argument that if we give the people at McDonald's more, they'll pay more in taxes.
No,
they don't. They're in the lower income brackets. They get it all back through earned income tax credits or through other things.
I agree. I have no problem there. I just wanted to clarify that. And you
okay, but the first thing you said on the program wasn't quite right. So let's move on to the second thing.
The second question is, it's low income people taking more money or taking costing jobs of the same class of people, low-income people. Now, if I'm getting a raise, guy's got 10 employees, and he has to give them all, like I said, round it off to $3 an hour or more, there's going to be two or three of those same low-income people that are going to lose their jobs.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, there'll be automation or there'll be cuts. I mean, look at your McDonald's here. Actually, I'm going to go because I want to move on to someone else. But look at your typical McDonald's now. Next time you pull up to the drive-thru, the person who works the drive-thru does not fill up your drink. They have a machine that does that. It cut out one more person behind the counter that the soda that you order is automatically filled up. McDonald's right now is testing other automated parts of their food delivery system that they'd like to see. Can we make a machine that applies the special sauce and the pickles and the onions and the lettuce and puts them in between the sesame seed bun? And if McDonald's can do that, when they're looking at a debate over whether they have to pay 15 bucks an hour, suddenly that technology, which is going to be tremendously expensive to develop and tremendously expensive to install, but all of those are one-time fixed costs and lower the ongoing costs of labor. Those ideas are going to move forward. Speaking of moving forward, for those of you who know what a Bitcoin is, there's a fabulous scandal involving Bitcoins. This is an alternate type of money, a money that is outside the control of, say, government policy. And for those who are suspicious that maybe Bitcoins were just a big scam, ha-ha, you're right. We'll talk about it when we come back. A topic change after this break. Chris Conley filling in for Seth Mila. This is Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.